Good evening, everyone. Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. I'm employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. We inform you that any U.S. federal or state tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to be specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. For advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney. Welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert, CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. Listen online at wdiy.org. Welcome to the show. Today is July 16th, 2014. The markets were up today. The Dow closing at 17,138, the NASDAQ at 4425, and the S&P at 1981. Last week, we talked about losing your job or leaving a job and what you needed to pay attention to in that regard. I really enjoyed the show. I hope listeners did as well. If for any reason there's a show or topic that you're interested in, we welcome ideas, and you can do that through yourfinancialchoices.com. Or if there's topics that you might be interested in and are curious as to whether we've ever had them on air, you can go to wdiy.org or yourfinancialchoices.com and look for podcast with the topics that may be of interest. So those are our prior shows on podcast. More information about WDIY is also available on their website, wdiy.org, especially if you'd like to become a member. Members do get emails telling what the upcoming programming is for the week, and that's how we find out what's on your financial choices each week. So what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about paying attention to your Social Security. So last week we talked about paying attention if you leave a job, what you have to pay attention to. This week we're talking about paying attention to Social Security. Have you started taking Social Security? Should you? How can you plan today for collecting tomorrow? But there's much more to Social Security than just that. So we're going to go through some of those topics. We are live. We are here to take your questions. Judy Ann will answer your calls, take your information, and ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we could talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. I'll do my best to answer them. The number to call in this evening is 610-758-8810. We take questions live on air where we can kind of talk back and forth. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can always give your question to Judy Ann. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. Or you can send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com as well. So the number again, 610-758-8810. So let's talk about paying attention to Social Security. As I said, there's more to Social Security than just deciding when is the best time to collect. That is the question that I get most often. When should I start collecting? And I do want to talk about that and give you some tips for that. And I will get to that a little bit later in the show. I want to do kind of an overview first, because one of the things I want to point out is I love the Social Security website. In preparing for the show, I did go there, and I go there often, frankly. There's lots of information on the Social Security website, and I just get there by typing ssa.gov, and that's for Social Security Administration. It's much quicker to type than socialsecurity.gov. Both ways will get you there. But I did notice that it has a new look to the site, and it looks nice and clean and fresh. I just am always impressed. It is jam-packed with information. Navigating, it's typical to the internet in that you kind of get tangled up in the web, that there is so much. Sometimes you kind of forget why you went there. So you want to make sure that you have a purpose when you're going and then get your work done and then kind of explore what else is on the website. So it is really sleek looking, very well organized, and available for all of us. So what I did today was I decided to set up an account at Social Security. So I was well aware of this. Many people had told me they had done it and tried it, and it was, you know, I thought more complicated than it ended up being for me. So I wanted to share my experience with you. It really only took a few minutes. You need some of your personal information, obviously your social security number, your name, and some other, you know, info, date of birth, things like that. Then they are also going to ask you some really kind of what would be private, personal questions, things maybe about a mortgage or a car loan, what kind of credit cards you might have. It doesn't sound, I mean, that probably sounds worse than it ended up being for me. I seriously could answer these questions so quickly. They give you, it's like a multiple choice, so it's not too scary, but obviously specific to your personal situation. And you just go through that, and then you set up a user ID and a password and security questions so that if you ever forget, you know, your password, you can come back and you can say, you know, yes, your father's middle name was, you know, Jim or whatever. So once you've set up your account, and again, it's called My Social Security Account, when you go to the website, it's almost the most prominent piece of the website. When you go on SSA.gov, it'll say in kind of like there was a little bit of script, say My Social Security link, and you link there. But the great thing about then setting up the account is there's a lot you can do on the website anyway, but you can also get your personal information regarding your Social Security history. So if any of you remember, gosh, I think it's been several years now that Social Security stopped sending out your personal Social Security statement. We used to get them around our birthday every year. They did that for a few years. I thought it was really a great service that they were doing. It may have become too expensive, or, you know, for privacy reasons, they stopped sending them. So the way you get it now is to either call Social Security and ask for it, but I even believe they may not be taking those phone calls anymore. I think I read something quickly on that. But if you want your Social Security statement, set up the My Social Security account, and then boom, you get it. So I printed mine off, and it's just like how it used to look. It's very organized, very easy to read, and that's where they tell you what your estimated benefits are. So I would suggest anyone who has been working for some time and hasn't reviewed their statement recently should really go set up the My Social Security account, print off your statement, because one of the things you want to do, remember folks, this is part of your retirement. And if you're watching your 401k or your IRAs, you want to make sure you're also watching your earnings record for Social Security, because that's what your Social Security benefit's going to be based on. So what you want to look for is your earnings record, your history. It'll tell you what earnings were taxed for Social Security, and then it'll say what your Medicare earnings are. So the reason they have the two columns is there's two pieces of what I'll call Social Security that we pay. There's the old age Social Security, the OASDI, for our retirement, and then we also pay our Medicare tax, which is for our Medicare benefits at age 65. So the Social Security earnings are capped. I'll talk more about that as we go through the show here a little bit. So those are capped, and then your Medicare earnings are not capped. So what's nice about it is it'll give you your earnings history, which you can use for other things like, you know, your jobs or forecasting how you've, you know, what kind of raises you've had in the past and things like that. But the more important thing is to make sure that it's accurate. So I noticed, and I didn't, you know, notify Social Security, but I did notice that when I looked at my earnings history, and I noticed this years ago, and I didn't go correct it because it wasn't really significant, because it was when I was pretty young. My earnings for 1 year in 1986 were like way super low, and I knew that I made a lot more money. So I'm not exactly sure why it is that amount, but when I went back, and this again, I went back and looked a long time ago, I went back and looked at my W-2, and my W-2 was much, much higher. Well, not really much, much higher, but back for a 25-year-old, it was much higher than like the $4,000 that it showed. What I would probably have to do is just provide that my W-2 to Social Security, and then either they would investigate or they would correct it. So if you catch that soon enough. I don't know if there's like a statute of limitations on letting them know, but that's the purpose of reviewing your earnings statement to make sure that it's accurate. Because part of the formula they use, which is a very complicated formula, part of the formula they use looks at like, it's going to take like your highest 35 years of earnings to come up with the calculation for your primary insurance amount. Okay. So there's lots more stuff on the Social Security website, and I'm going to be talking about that. I'm going to be talking about why this is all important and why you have to pay attention. So if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll continue our discussion when we're back from this break. Thanks.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have vinyl albums or 45s on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the records, and you will receive a tax deduction. For more information or to arrange for drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 extension 3 or visit WDIY.org.
Okay, welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we're talking about paying attention to Social Security and all that it has to offer tonight. That is the website. And how it's going to help you in your financial planning and making sure you're, you know, paying attention, taking care of things. So lots of ideas here we're going to discuss. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Or questions can be submitted through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. So I just mentioned about setting up your an account at Social Security called My Social Security. Very easy, in my opinion. And then you get that set up and then you can get your statement. And the wonderful thing about your statement is that's what you can use when you're doing your financial planning, which I'm sure all the listeners of Your Financial Choices are doing. They're doing their financial planning. And on that statement, you're going to see your estimated benefits. If you've not already started collecting, it will show you your estimated benefit for your full retirement age. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Your full retirement age, your estimated benefit at age 70, and your estimated benefit at age 62, which is what I would call early retirement benefit. It will also tell you what you would be entitled to under disability and for family and survivors. So your child, if something were, you know, if you were to pass away, what your child would be entitled to, or what your spouse would be entitled to, or your spouse who's caring for your child. And then there's a cap on family benefits. So lots of good information there, and a must for any financial planning. Okay, so get your statement, My Social Security account at ssa.gov. Stuff to pay attention to. All right, back to the website. What else is on that website? They have a new area called, well, at least it looked new to me. It might have been there before, just, you know, didn't look as sweet as it looks now. So it's a new area called Items of Interest. And under Items of Interest, there's different links that you can go to. There's FAQs, Frequently Asked Questions. There's a tab for application status, calculators, forms, publications, and much more than that. I have always liked the publications at Social Security. I would say that the publications quite often give you information, quite a bit of information, but knowing what I know about Social Security, sometimes it's not exactly the whole story. And the reason it can't always be the whole story is because sometimes benefits and eligibility and things like that are just a little bit more complicated than what they could really delve into in a publication that is targeted toward the masses. So think about it. When they're putting together these publications, they need to give you enough information to have you educated as to opportunities, benefits, what's available to you, but they can't make it so complicated because they could probably write 30 pages on when is it the best time to take Social Security because there's just too many iterations that they would have to get into. So keep in mind, the publications are great. It just may not have all the answers. So it will certainly put you in the right direction. So one of the publications available is called Update 2014, which is quite handy for those people who may have retired early and started Social Security but are still working part-time. What you have to pay attention to here is that there are earning limits for those receiving Social Security benefits who have not reached full retirement age. And if you go over the earning limits, some of your Social Security benefits will be withheld and not paid to you. So let me say that again. If you are someone who retired early and are still working, there are earning limits that will possibly impact the Social Security benefits that you're receiving. So if you go over the earning limits, Social Security will keep a dollar for every $2 that you go over. Now, if it's in the year that you reach full retirement age, the earnings limit is much higher. It's like $40,000. If you retired early, the earning limits are $15,480. Let me give an example before I move on to the full retirement age example. So if you're under full retirement age, so let's say you retire at 62 and you say, you know what, I'm retired from that stressful job, but I still want to work part time. I see a lot of people who go drive buses, which is great. So they drive a bus and they earn $14,000 a year. Well, if you earn if you're earning $14,000 a year, and I told you the earning limits for someone who was under full retirement age were $15,480, no one's going to take any of your money away. You're going to earn your $14,000 in W-2 wages, and you're also going to have your Social Security money. All right. If you made $16,480 driving the bus, you're over the earning limits by $1,000. So Social Security will take away a dollar for every $2 you're over the limit. So if you're $1,000 over the limit divided by two, they would withhold $500 from your benefit. Okay? Now, the tricky part is sometimes they don't know when you're going to go over. So there's usually like a little timing problem. So maybe they don't know you go over until the end of the year, and then they're going to have to withhold it from your benefit in the next year. So what will happen when you get your Social Security, I'll call it a 1099, or your Social Security 1099, for that year where they've withheld some of the benefits, you might have a Social Security statement that says, you know, your benefit that was paid was $12,000, and then they're going to say repaid $1,000, or in my example, it was $500, and then your net benefit was $11,500. I get lost in my numbers. So you have to be aware of that and understand that that's why that happened. And my caution for you, which is why I say pay attention, remember the show tonight is pay attention to things with Social Security, is that if you're someone who is on a budget and you're used to this cash flow and you're thinking in your head, I'm going to have, maybe your part-time pay is $20,000 and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to get my $20,000 from, you know, my job, and I'm going to have my, you know, $14,000 from Social Security. Well, if you're over by $5,000, they're going to keep $2,500 of your Social Security. So you need to make sure that you've planned properly. So you want to pay attention. Now, I did mention that in the year of full retirement, the earnings limit is higher. It's $40,080, and they take away $1 for every three that you're over. So you may not be paying anything back in that situation. But once you're full retirement, and for people born between 1943 and 1954, the full retirement age is 66. It gradually increases to the point of age 67 for people born in 1960 or later. So for people between 1955 and 1959, it's somewhere between age 66 and a month, 66 and 2 months, 66 and 3 months, blah, blah. But for people 1960 or later, it's age 67. So full retirement age for people born in 1943 to 1954, it's 66. Once you reach full retirement age and a full year of full retirement age, then you don't have to pay anything back. So you could make $2 million and get your full Social Security without having to pay any of it back. All right. So lots of fun information. We're going to talk more about things you need to pay attention to for Social Security. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can talk live on air or give your question to Judy Ann. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we're talking about Social Security tonight and items that you can pay attention to. The website is a great website, and it is ssa.gov. I've always been impressed with the Social Security website, and I've impressed with our local Social Security office as well. I feel that a lot of people get the help that they need. Social Security is trying to get more people to go online. It just makes it a little bit more efficient, I think, in general, and it saves people the time and effort of, you know, going down to their local office, standing in line, waiting, you know, to get helped and things like that. So to the extent that you can do online applications and whatever you can do online, check that out first. And one of the things I mentioned at the top of the show was setting up a My Social Security account. So they do say that they have the strongest security that you can find on the internet. So you are welcome to test that or not. But having your Social Security statement is really important when you're trying to do any kind of financial planning. So lots of publications there as well. As I've mentioned, there was a little pamphlet called Update 2014, and that's where it talks about earning limits on Social Security. It also talked about the threshold on earnings for the Social Security tax withholdings. So what is that? The Social Security tax, that's the old age Social Security disability piece of tax that we pay when we're working. We pay half of it. Our employer pays half of it. If you're self-employed, you pay both sides of it. But that piece for our retirement is capped. Our wages, our earnings are capped. Not more than $117,000 is taxed at 6.2%. So if we make $100,000, it's taxed at 6.2%. If we make $150,000, only $117,000 is taxed. And that's the Social Security piece. The Medicare tax applies to all of the wages. And I'll go into more detail about that. But right now we have a question. We have Carolyn from Sailorsburg. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Lori.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good.
I have questions about how long to save certain documents.
Uh-huh.
And one of them is pay stubs. I have pay stubs that go back years and years, and I'm wondering, and I always held on to them because I wanted to be sure that what Social Security stated was what I actually did earn, and I always felt like I needed these for a backup.
Right. Right.
But once, like if you set up your account, which mm-hmm. I have done, and once you check it, am I okay to shred the old pay stubs?
I would say yes, you could do the old pay stubs. I would keep like the most, probably the most recent. Well, first of all, a lot of people don't even save pay stubs anymore. So much of it has gone electronic.
Yes.
But I would tell people to save your final pay stub for the last 3 years, your final pay stub. The rest you can shred for sure. But if you have the W-2, that also could kind of confirm what's on those Social Security statements. And if you keep your old tax returns, which I tell people to always keep their old tax returns, then usually you'd have your W-2s with that. So I think you're really good to go shredding the pay stubs. Again, the most current ones, I would just keep the final pay stub. So can I ask you a question? If that answers your question, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you went on, and I don't know how long ago you did it, but when you went on to the Social Security website to set up your account, how easy did you find it?
I thought it was quite simple to do.
Yeah.
I really did.
I had a couple people tell me that they couldn't answer the questions. So I thought, oh my gosh, they must ask such obscure questions that someone wouldn't know. But when I went on, it was, you know where your mortgage is, you know where your car loan was. I mean, if people are aware of that, at least it went really fast.
Yeah, I thought it was very well done. And I'm not a real computer person. So.
Right. Me either. You know, I really am not either. And I thought it was fairly straightforward. So, yes, I'm glad that you've checked your documents against your Social Security earnings because that does make a difference. One other thing, I think sometimes when spouses occasionally, if they switch who the taxpayer is versus the spouse when they file their tax returns, I think that actually messes up the Social Security office as well. So they're used to like the husband being the taxpayer and the wife being the spouse on the tax return. Because the 1 year I switched my husband and I thought, why should he be the taxpayer? I want to be the taxpayer. That's the year that mine got messed up. So people should be careful of that.
Okay,
Carolyn, any other questions?
Yeah, I do have a couple quick questions. Now, you stated before to check your W-2s. What if you don't have W-2s from years ago? Where would you... Is there any hope?
Well, the W-2s would be with your tax return.
Yeah, but if you only save them for, say, 7 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you might not have the information to go back.
I guess that's why it's a good idea to check
this
every so often, and I guess check it before you purge the
file. Yes. I've had too many times where clients don't think they need information from their prior tax return, and they get rid of things. And then all of a sudden an issue comes up 10 years later and we find out, shoot, it was on that tax return that you purged from 11 years ago. You know, so I keep all mine. So
what about old bank statements?
I think you could, other than the most recent, like 3 years and just about anything you're doing, I would shred those as well. Bank statements, I don't think you need either.
Okay, great. Okay. I got some cleaning up to do.
Great. Okay, hey, thanks, Carolyn.
I want to thank you so much and just say to folks that it is really empowering to get your finances in order. And I found that since I've been doing this lately, it's actually spilled over to other areas of my life.
It's fine.
Getting things organized and more together, and it just feels really good.
Great. I'm glad, Carolyn. Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Bye.
Good night.
Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. For the Social Security, I was mentioning our earnings do get capped for Social Security. So what that means is that while if you make less than the cap of $117,000, then your employer will withhold 6.2% of your wages for the Social Security piece. Once you go over that threshold, they'll no longer withhold it, and then you'll have that extra money in your paycheck. Now, for people who have the exact same paycheck every week who make more than $117,000, they're going to find at some point in the year, all of a sudden, it looks like they have extra money in their paycheck. Well, it's probably from the Social Security. So this is something to pay attention to for those folks that feel they don't have enough money to put in their retirement accounts or to pay off their credit cards or their student loans. If you are one of those people who make over $117,000, then here's a little extra pay for you to now put to work for you to get empowered, as Carolyn had mentioned. So in my example, let's use $150,000 less the threshold of 117. That means your earnings are $33,000 over. If all along in your pay, you were getting used to not having that 6.2%, you weren't spending more than that, then all of a sudden, this extra money that you're now earning, this extra $33,000 that's not, it's not being taxed at 6.2%, don't just go waste it. Now you have this extra money, the 6.2 on that $33,000 is $2,046. So if you still have room to put that in your 401k, that's pure savings. If you put that toward 24% credit card, that's saving $480. So all of a sudden you found money. We have to go to a break, but I do have someone on the phone. So please hold on, Tom. Hold on. We will take you as soon as we get back from the break. It'll just be a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And we are back, and we have Tom on the line. Tom, can you hear me?
I'm here.
Okay, hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, how can I help you?
I have a question regarding Social Security benefit. I'm self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
I own a small business.
Mm-hmm.
And I draw a paycheck from the business, but I also draw a distribution, a shareholder distribution.
Okay.
And as I understand it, the way Social Security benefits, I got about another 4 or 5 years to own the business, and I'm gonna shuffle off to my wood shop and retire. But as I understand it, the way Social Security benefits are calculated is based on the last 5 years of income, and I'm a little I don't even know if that's right, but I'm a little concerned that if that's the case, how will it be calculated if the distributions I take from the business,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not paying Social Security taxes on that?
Right. So it sounds to me like you have a S corporation.
I do.
Okay. So with an S corporation, you have you can take a W-2 as an employee, and then like the extra profits beyond what's a normal salary gets paid out to you as a distribution. Those are not factored into any of your earnings benefits for Social Security. So your earnings that if you go to Social Security and sign up and get that My Social Security account, which is very easy to do, you will see your earnings history. And it's basically actually a 35-year history that they're looking at, Tom.
Oh.
And then what they do, though, when they're projecting what your estimated benefit is, they look at your recent average salary, and in that estimate of benefits, they say this is what they anticipate you to make until, you know, either the early retirement age estimate or the full retirement age estimate or the age 70 estimate. So if you're making $50,000 a year, you know, for the past couple of years, your earnings history for 35 years, you kind of were making comparable factoring and, you know, increases.
Right.
They will assume that you're going to make $50,000 factoring in increases for the number of years up until those estimates. So if that's different, like some people don't realize, if they retire early, they're not going to make what Social Security has estimated. If someone retires at 55, it'll be a little less than that. But you're, as a shareholder in an S-Corp, those extra distributions are not factored in. It's only the earnings on your W-2.
Okay, so I plan to retire. My Social Security retirement age is 67.
Okay,
and for full benefit, mm-hmm. and that's what I plan to do.
Okay,
so let's say hypothetically that my salary from the company is $50,000 a year,
right?
And my distribution as a shareholder is $50,000
right.
a year.
Right.
So I'm paying Social Security tax on $50,000.
Right.
And so when it comes to calculating my benefit, you're saying that they look at 35 years but anticipate that
you're only going to make the 50 for the next several years with, you know, a normal 2% increase.
So my benefit would be projected based on $50,000 as opposed to $100,000.
Correct. It's whatever you're paying Social Security on.
Is there a significant difference? Is there a significant difference? I'm assuming that there's some cap on the amount Social Security pays.
There is a cap, but it probably would make a difference, because if you think about the earning limits being like $117,000 now, so there is a difference. But one of the things that they have on the Social Security website is a calculator. So you could kind of go in and play with it. And if you sign up and do my Social Security account, they might actually even have your earnings history in there already. And then you could go in and do the calculator saying, what if you bumped it up to $75,000 or $80,000? So one of the reasons people like S-Corps is because they take the W-2s and then the distributions aren't subject to the Social Security. But the downside of that is then you have a lower Social Security benefit when you retire. So it's kind of fun to go, you know, play with those numbers if that's available to see what it is. I know I've used calculators in the past for clients who don't have their Social Security statement, so I'm sure you can go in there and do that. It's fairly easy. Okay.
So I guess the real trade-off is I have to calculate what's better. Is it the reduced tax I pay now versus the reduced income I get later from Social Security?
Right.
Okay.
Okay, great, Tom. Thank you. Have a great night. We have Eugene on line one. Eugene, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh,
hi.
Very good. Hi, how are you?
Good. I really love your show.
Great, thank you. How can I help you?
As you were saying before, there's a limit on how much money you can make when you're getting Social Security.
Yep.
My question is there a limit how much money you can take out from your 401k or any investment for Social Security takes money out of you?
No. So let's pretend that you're earning let's say you take Social Security and you're making, you know, you get paid $14,000 in Social Security. If you take money out of your 401k, let's say you take $50,000 out of your 401k and you have your $14,000 Social Security, no, they're not going to take any money back out of your Social Security. What might happen, Eugene, though, is more of your Social Security might get income taxed. Social Security benefits get taxed based on how much income you have on page one of your return. So sometimes people will be careful about how much money they're taking out of retirement accounts if it's going to make their Social Security more taxable. And real quick, I'm going to tell you, one of the strategies we sometimes have people do is to postpone taking Social Security if you do have retirement accounts that you could take money out without penalty. You know, you're old enough and everything. So one of the strategies is kind of work down your retirement account while your Social Security might build up. And then you kind of lower your required minimum distributions at age 70 and a half. I just said a whole big mouthful of strategy right there. But this is part of why it's a good idea to go and look at your earnings benefits, what your estimate of benefits are, and then do some good financial planning and strategies to make the most of it. But no, Social Security will not reduce your benefit because you take money out of your retirement accounts or investments, but it might be more taxable. Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Eugene. Have a good night. Thanks for calling. We also had a question come in online. So let me see if I can get this down. Carol sent a message in online. She said she's not impressed with the Social Security website. She had been locked out twice, and she said she now will have to sit at a Social Security office. Is there any other way? Now, it's interesting. She said she was locked out. I'm not sure, because today when I was going on my Social Security account to set this up and test this out, there was quite a period of time where I actually was interrupted and was talking with someone that I couldn't like finish what I was doing. And I did not get locked out, but I was afraid that I was going to be locked out for non-use. So, Carol, I'm not sure how long you were on the site before you got locked out. I know that the other thing that I had read was that they you can come back. So you can save your work. Like you're, if you're doing an online application, you can save your work and come back to it. Now, if you got locked out possibly because of forgetting your password, that might have been it. But you, when you do the My Social Security account, they do ask you for security questions. So yeah, I don't know if you were locked out from not, you know, entering information soon enough, or if it was your password that was the problem. So I didn't have any problems. So I hope that you have a better experience going forward if you try it again, and maybe try to do that before you go down to the Social Security office again. You also had a second question. You said, I know I can collect Social Security on my ex-husband's Social Security because we had been married more than 10 years. I am now 64 and plan to retire at 65. Can I collect his until I turn 66? Carol, there is a great brochure publication also on their website called What Every Woman Should Know. And they do talk about the different benefits if you were married. And you can go on if you're full retirement age. Once you're both full retirement age, you could apply for your ex-spouse's benefits and suspend yours. That's once you're full retirement age. Prior to full retirement age, they're going to look at who had the higher benefit. So you want to check and make sure what your options are. But let me just see. Again, if this is another point I wanted to make. If your spouse has not applied for benefits but can qualify for them and is age 62 or older, this is for divorced people, you can receive benefits on your ex-spouse's work if you two have been divorced for at least 2 years. So you had to have been married for 10, divorced for at least 2. And if you're 62, one of the things Social Security said is they're not going to penalize you because you're divorced and your ex-spouse won't go apply. Normally in a marriage, you cannot file for your spouse's benefit unless they have filed. In the case of divorce, your ex-spouse may just try to spite you and they're not going to file. They're going to work till they're, you know, 70 and they're not going to file because they might want to spite you. Well, Social Security understands that and they say that you could still file for your ex-spouse's benefit at 62. But if you wait till full retirement age, you can collect on your ex-spouse's and suspend your record to earn more benefits. All right. So you need to know what your full retirement age, if you're 64, I'd have to do the work. Maybe your full retirement age is, I don't know, 66. So check your benefits out. But there is that publication on the website there as well. Great questions tonight, folks. The phone number is 610-758-8810 or online. And I love that Carol used the online. So I know she's computer savvy. So thanks for that. All right. So I want to go back for a moment to say pay attention. If you are someone who earns more than the Social Security capped earnings of $117,000, act like you don't have that money and use it and put it to good use for your financial future by checking to see, should you be putting money in a retirement account? Should you be paying off credit cards, loans? Should you be establishing an emergency reserve? You know, economics, we tend to spend what we make. This is how people become empowered. They save what they make or make smarter decisions with that money. All right. But there is no cap on the Medicare, so it doesn't matter how much money you make. There is going to be the 1.45% Medicare tax, and that's your side, the employee side. The employer also pays that. Self-employed people pay both sides. So Carol had mentioned about, you know, going online, having some hiccups. You can go online. You can apply for benefits online. There is a publication for that. So when you go on the site, I thought it was funny. I think I clicked on it. It said, you know, like apply online or something. There is a publication for that. And the font on the words were so big And I thought, wow, Social Security really knows who their audience is. Older people who can't see. I didn't even have to use my glasses to read it. The font's really big. So that was nice. But there are many, many publications. And one I wanted to point out as well. One was entitled Apply Online for Extra Help with Medicare Prescription Drug Costs. Anyone with Medicare can get Medicare prescription coverage, and some people with limited resources and income also may be able to get extra help for the costs such as monthly premiums, annual deductibles, and copays related to the Medicare drug plan. You must reside in the U.S. having limited assets of $13,440 for single and $26,860 for married couples. These assets do not include your home, car, or any life insurance policy, and your annual income must be limited to $17,235 for an individual, $23,265 for a married couple. Pay attention. So you may be entitled to these benefits and not even know it. And it said that on the website. You may, a lot of people don't even know about this Medicare extra help. All right, so that's available, ssa.gov/extra help. We're going to take our last break. If you have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services, including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. The time now is 6:46. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. Folks, we are talking about what to pay attention to for Social Security tonight, and I wanted to highlight the website, some of the information that's available there, the access. Social Security is, of course, encouraging people to do as much as they can online. If you have hiccups with it, I say maybe try again. There are lots of 1-800 numbers or 1-866 numbers to call Social Security if you have questions or issues. You can go into the local offices as well. They would prefer that if you can do some of this online that you, of course, do so. Anyway, I wanted to talk about a couple more of the publications there and then kind of finish up the show talking about some of the concepts around when to decide to take retirement benefits from Social Security and how. At the beginning of the show, I said a lot of these publications are great publications and they educate you and alert you to some things to pay attention to, but it's not always quite the whole story. And it is because it can be complicated. And, you know, more and more people are talking about this. You read about it. You hear it in the news. You hear it in the retirement publications and magazines and everything. Well, people can talk about it, but it really is such a specific, I would say, decision with particular numbers to you that there's no general answer. So that is a big caution I have for folks. When you're trying to decide when should you file for benefits under Social Security, if you have options, you know, meaning adequate cash flow that you can decide to wait or take it, you know, you really, if you're a candidate for going through those numbers, I suggest you meet with someone and really go through them because it is quite specific. It is not just a simple math calculation. There are other questions and, you know, information that you really need to review for that, life expectancy being one of them. Let me mention that actually. Now, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about that, if you live to the average life expectancy that all of these benefits are based on, folks, it does not matter which avenue you take for collecting at 62 or full retirement age. It is going to be the same dollars in the end. Now, granted, you could take those dollars and invest them differently than someone else, but bottom line, the numbers are basically going to be calculated using a formula that if you collect early, you're going to get a smaller amount, but the expectation is you're going to be collecting for a longer period of time. If you collect later, the theory is you're going to get more, but you're going to live a shorter period of time from the time you started collecting. So in the end, if you live to the life expectancy that the numbers are calculated on, it's not going to matter which way you pick. So if you are someone who has a super long life expectancy, then it might be worthwhile thinking about if you can wait, because then you're going to get the biggest benefit by waiting. You're going to get a premium for waiting. If you're someone who has a very short life expectancy, you know, in theory, you just know family history, you have health history, health problems yourself. If you start collecting early, you know, you might get more money collecting at 62 if you're going to croak at 64 than waiting till full retirement age. So keep that in mind. There's lots of factors. So there is a publication called Snapshot. Basically, the Snapshot tells you some of the benefits of Social Security. So they talk about paying Social Security tax, earning Social Security credits. The credits are important if you're going to qualify for disability and Social Security, how they figure them. That was to Tom's question earlier. Generally, your Social Security benefit is a percentage of your average lifetime earnings. So remember, Tom, I think you had thought, may have heard that it was 5 years. It is your average lifetime earnings, but I think that they use 35 years. Low-income workers receive a higher percentage of their average lifetime earnings than those in the upper income brackets. So that might factor into some of your calculations as well. So lots of information. They talk about retirement benefits, disability benefits, survivor benefits, Medicare, supplemental security income. That is for people who have low income. So there is a difference there. So that's what the Snapshot publication covers. Then one of my favorite publications forever, as long as I've been doing, you know, financial planning for people, one of my favorite publications is, and I referred to it when Carol called, or when Carol sent, she didn't call, she sent in her question online, is the publication called What Every Woman Should Know. So what happens, folks? It's just part of what's going on in our lives. Women tend to live longer. So I think it's important for women to understand what the benefits are to them, what they're entitled to, especially if you are either divorced or widowed, or if you are the lower earning spouse. So lots of information for you to know what is available to you and what you need to pay attention to. So we talk about, when you retire, the different ages that are considered full retirement age. So if you're someone born between 1943 and 1954, I said full retirement age was 66. And if it's 55 through 59, it's 66 and some months. And if it's 1960 or later, it's 67. So this book touches on this one for What Every Woman Should Know, talks about some of the different, I would say, iterations that we might experience as women, which again is benefits for your family, benefits when you die, but also if you are divorced or if you become a widow. So you can go through this booklet and get some of that information. The big thing to pay attention to, folks, now I'm going to try to talk in general terms. Oh, let me mention the phone number one more time because we do have a little bit of time left for questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And if we run out of time, you can send questions through yourfinancialchoices.com as well, and I'll, you know, respond accordingly. So I think the general terms that you need to understand if you're someone who hasn't started collecting Social Security yet, and you are someone who might have options, meaning you have other resources for cash flow and, you know, paying your bills. The big thing to get your arms around is if you are trying to decide when to start collecting Social Security, if you're before full retirement age, you're going to be taking a permanent reduced benefit. If you are working, you're happy working, and you don't even have to be working, but let's say you're someone who doesn't need the money, you can start collecting at full retirement age, or you can delay collecting until age 70. For those people who delay until age 70 from full retirement age, you're earning a premium of like 8% on your benefit. So your benefit could be, you know, quite a bit more if you wait till age 70 and you have the resources to be able to do that. Now, why would someone want to wait till age 70? Well, if you're going to live to age 90, you might want to maximize what your Social Security benefit will be each month, and that's one way to do it. Granted, even if you think you're going to live till 90 and everybody in your family lives till age 90, you could still get hit by a car. So sometimes that is, you know, a hurdle for people. They just think, gosh, you know, I'm not a risk taker. I don't want to risk losing all that money. I'm going to go ahead and collect. Some people get nervous that Social Security is not going to be around. And so they, you know, think I better get it while I can. Now, there was something, and I don't know if I had written it down. I think Social Security starts to have problems in 2033. And if you talk to people at Social Security, they'll tell you that, you know, there will be probably adjustments to the system, you know, before that to help it. So we'll see about that. No guarantees. So some people will feel like get it now. But they've been saying that for a long time. And a lot of people who went ahead and said, well, I'm going to get it now when I'm 62, their benefit isn't increasing that much. And yet maybe the cost of living, inflation is creeping into their budget more than what their Social Security is increasing, what their cost of living increases on their Social Security. So if your healthcare costs are going up 6% and your Social Security is only going up at 2%, at some point, you know, you're going to be squeezed a little bit more. So when you're doing your financial planning, your retirement planning, try to plan in such a way that you give yourself options. And if you can wait a little longer and, you know, all of those other factors align, you know, you need to consider that. So again, remember, for each person, each couple, it's an individual decision. What happens, though, there's a few kinds of benefits. One, there's your earnings benefit. So if I have an earnings record, I have my own, you know, benefit that I'm entitled to. There's a spousal benefit that maybe I didn't work and my husband did, or maybe I worked and my husband didn't. So there's a spousal benefit. So you can earn benefits off of your spouse's record. And then there's the widow's benefit. I'm not talking about disability tonight. So these are just like, you know, the retirement benefits I'm talking about. So your earnings benefit, your spousal benefit, and your widow's benefit. So in making the decision when to take it, if you collect early, there's always going to be a permanent reduction. So let's pretend we wait till full retirement age. If we wait till full retirement age, that's when we really have the most options. If we are someone who was in a marriage and had a spouse or even an ex-spouse, it's when we have those spousal benefits available to us that we get some options at full retirement age as to whether I take my benefit or my spousal benefit. So sometimes what people will do is we'll say, okay, I'm entitled to my own benefit. It's not very much. I'm full retirement age. I'm going to go ahead and start collecting that. And my husband's still working. He hasn't filed yet. So I'll just collect my spousal benefit once he retires, because you can't collect on your spousal benefit until your earning spouse files. So there's lots of options there once you reach full retirement age. So to wrap the show up, pay attention to Social Security, go look at your earnings benefit, make sure your record is in order, make sure you understand your options. You'll see what a lot of those options are when you print off your benefit statement, what it'll show all the different amounts, monthly amounts that you're estimated to get, and then start, you know, playing with some numbers, get some help and play with those numbers and see what works best for you and see how you can coordinate it with your other financial planning and your other, you know, access to cash flow and resources and things like that. All right. So I love talking about Social Security. Again, that website is ssa.gov for more information, and lots of information there. So go click around. Next week, Rod Young will be guest hosting for us, and he will be talking about something in financial planning, some financial planning issues. You can watch the email as a member. from WDIY. You can watch for the email talking about what's coming up in the next week, so you can look for that. I want to thank the listeners tonight. You were great. I love all the questions. I appreciate it. It makes the show more fun for me and more applicable. We can kind of see how some of these things all fit together. So I thank you all for calling in or sending in your question online. If you do have questions that I missed getting to you tonight, the website is yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can send questions through there and I'll get back to you. Thank you, Judy Ann, for being here. Thank you, Jeff. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.